I love it. What's going on, folks? How you guys doing? You know the drill. Talking sports with the 12th man.
Long Talk Radio.
Andre Peterson.
Make it do what it do, sports fans.
We're here once again. The month of November has snuck upon us. A lot of fun things. A little Slick Rick played in the background.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah, you're right.
It may cause concern. Why don't you listen and learn? That once was strong.
But yeah, you're right.
Even that's not wrong.
A little surprise for Robert Ford, man. I really appreciate
you. Had to pull
out
Slick Rick for him, huh?
Had to come up with something a little different. We'll have some fun, obviously. Once again,
oh, yeah.
Wednesday, November the 2nd, and you are live talking sports with 12th Man. As mentioned, Robert Ford, Andre Peterson. Looking forward to a great, great night of sports. Rob is incredible that he's calling us from the road, so I appreciate the sacrifice. But, you know, it is what it is, as always.
Oh, yeah, we have to make it do what it do. Look forward. We got the so-called game of the century in college football that's coming up weekend. That's what seems to be all the sports world is centering on this coming weekend. Number
sure
two, Alabama, Houston, number one, LSU.
Yeah, I guess that's a pretty big game if you're, if you're not calling from underneath the rock or anything like that. But there's a lot of other games we're going to preview, obviously, but we're going to spend the majority of the time talking about that.
I didn't think there were any other games this weekend.
Yeah, the way that it's being hyped up, you would think that's the case. But we'll touch base on some NFL and some recapping, and then obviously jump into any calls and all that good stuff. But once again, for those that are calling in, checking us out on the radio and all that jazz, we thank you. For those who want to call in, the number is 424-243-9519. Once again, 424-243-9519. So, Rob, you know, I guess just do a quick recap on anything that happened last week, touching base for college, if you will. I just want to say unequivocally, if you will, that it's great to see the Yellow Jackets pull out that win versus Clemson. I do have to say that Clemson was a pretty good team. I don't think they should be ashamed of their performance. Sammy Watkins, the freshman wide receiver, was everything that he was billed out to be. It's kind of scary that this guy's a freshman. I'm thinking that we're probably going to see him for 3 years, and then he's going to be a pretty high pick. Taj Boyd just didn't get him the ball enough times, I think, but Georgia Tech had a good game plan, and we were able to do some things. So just kind of off the bat, very excited about that win against a team that I'm sure everyone had us losing to, if you will. If you want to comment on that, if you will.
Do you all hear this, America? We got the biggest game in college football coming up this weekend, and we're talking Georgia Tech, Clemson?
I just had to throw that out there. I'm excited, man.
Yeah, I actually hear this. Okay, I'm just messing with you. Yeah, that was a huge win for Georgia Tech this weekend. I actually didn't think that they would be able to beat Clemson, and so they definitely proved me wrong. And it's that's definitely a great win for Georgia Tech and Paul Johnson being able to beat Clemson, and pretty good at that.
Yeah, it was a big game for us.
That was a big win, and it probably removes Clemson from any hope of playing for a national championship. I mean, you still have hope for winning the ACC title and playing in the BCS bowl game. But, you know, I know Virginia Tech is we're probably looking at a Clemson-Virginia Tech ACC championship game, but there's still some football to be played, so a lot of things can change. Clemson and Georgia Tech's in the same division, correct, in ACC?
That's correct.
Yeah, so, I mean, there is some hope for Georgia Tech. If Clemson gets another loss, Georgia Tech won that tiebreaker.
All right, that's enough about that. And just for those that are obviously in Georgia, it was good to see Georgia come out and beat Florida. It's a tight game and the special team issues. But, you know, that's it. Okay, Rob, let's jump to the game of the century without any delay here. And let's talk about it. LSU, Alabama. Number one, number two, Crazy Les versus Nick Saban. What you got here? I'm sure coming from the LSU perspective, going behind enemy lines to Alabama. What do you think? What's your matchup, and kind of how do you think everything's going to play out?
Wow, you know, this is very interesting matchup here, and definitely a very intriguing matchup. And the two defenses that are, I think, both very good, but actually, you know, a little bit different. I think Alabama, I may have mentioned this on the show a time or two before, Alabama's probably a little bit stouter on defense, where they're a little bit bigger, where LSU is a little bit more speed-oriented defense and rushing the passer, creating turnovers, that kind of thing, whereas Alabama's defense is a little bit harder to move the ball against. But, you know, LSU has got a really physical offensive line, two really bruising physical fullbacks as well, and a power running game. So it's going to be an interesting matchup going against that Alabama defense. I know. I don't want to sound too biased, but I personally believe LSU is actually the better team. But I just think it's going to be hard for LSU to win this game in that environment at Alabama. So my prediction is that Alabama wins this game somewhere between, you know, 3 to 7 points, you know, giving them the home field advantage, been pulling us out. But I think, you know, my personal opinion is I think LSU on a neutral field is slightly better. But I'm going to give Alabama the victory here, although I'm desperately pulling for LSU to find a way to win this game and hope that they will. But my prediction will be that Alabama will pull it out.
Gotcha. Very interesting, Rob. And if you just kind of listen to what's going on in the world of sports here, I've heard a lot of commentators comment about, the advantages for both sides. And some people are giving the slight edge to LSU at the quarterback position because they feel that, you know, you guys have a little bit more experience there. And basically, if you have a more of a veteran quarterback, that's kind of an edge too. Now they give the coaching to Nick Saban. They give the lucky rabbit's foot to Les Miles. That cat is always getting lucky breaks by some means. So it's one of those situations where you don't know what's going to happen, and they're like, that's where you never know what Les is going to do. You may pull out some crazy fake punt at some time. You know, that guy is just notorious for doing some crazy stuff. And no offense due to obviously LSU fans, but.
They call him the Mad Hatter for a reason, but he does a lot of one thing that Les Miles has proven to be very successful at is that he finds weaknesses in other teams' special teams, and so he's you'll see in a lot of big games he'll call a big special teams fake punt or fake field goal or anything, and I haven't seen him. You know, I don't want to jinx him, but, you know, every time he calls it, it seems to work. It's amazing. Every time he does a fake field goal or a fake punt, it just seems as though he does it at the right time.
Yeah, so like I said,
But I'm sure Nick Saban is prepared for it, too.
and that's the thing, too. Obviously, that's what makes the game so exciting because there's so many different variables, you know, as mentioned, you know, because – you know, certain teams have certain strengths and certain weaknesses, and as we talked about, you talk about the physicality of the offensive line for LSU, and then you talked about, you know, how Alabama's got a pretty stout defense, too. And like you said, it's just, you know, you can kind of pick and choose different things. Then you go down to coaching, you know, and then you go down to, as mentioned, it is at Alabama, so you'd give them a slight edge, if you will. As mentioned, hopefully this game will be, I'm sure it'll be just as great as it's being hyped to be. I also wanted to take it down to another level to cheerleaders, you know, LSU versus Alabama. Got to give the edge to LSU cheerleaders. I'm just joking, man. we're just having fun here. Like I said, anything else you want to talk about the game, if you will, or you want to kind of move on, or where are you at? I mean, like I said, I know this is going to be a talked about this whole weekend and also moving on to the following week, too. So, it is what it is. No one knows what else is going down, if you will.
Yes, definitely a huge game, huge matchup, national championship implications, SEC West Division championship on the line. I mean, SEC championship on the line, possibly. And so it's definitely a huge game. first time in SEC history that we have a 1-2 game in the same in the SEC conference. So it's definitely a huge matchup. And it seems as though the college football, most of the college football nation will be kind of tuned into this game. But, you know, it doesn't seem like there are any other games this weekend, but I guess we can move on. There are actually some other big games this weekend in college football. I guess we can start with number 7, Arkansas, hosting number 9, South Carolina.
South Carolina. Yeah, now, if you're a Georgia fan, this is pretty big because you're pretty much, and I know everyone hates the name Bobby Petrino in the Atlanta area, if you will, but if you're Georgia, you're pretty much hoping that Arkansas can knock out South Carolina because that's going to be big implications for Georgia moving forward and the steps for them to, you know, sew up the word at the East, if you will. But anyway, that's a big game. And it is at Arkansas, so it's going to be I think it's going to be a highly high scoring game, if you will. But we'll see how it plays out, and you know, if the old ball coach has any tricks with his sleeve, if you will. So yeah, I don't know if you want to comment on that game.
Yeah, very interesting matchup here. Arkansas kind of sleepwalked the last couple of weeks with Ole Miss and Vanderbilt. They still were able to squeak by. Impression that Arkansas just has not played their best football the last couple of weeks, albeit they were on the road, but still with the opponents, you would think that they were going up against that older turn. And albeit Vanderbilt is a much better team this year, you still think that Arkansas could have handled those teams a little bit better than what they did. And so I think Arkansas is definitely having some issues on defense right now. And but, you know, I'm still going to go ahead and predict Arkansas to win this game for the simple fact that, you know, I'm going to give them the home field advantage just like I gave, you know, Alabama. So I'm going to go with Arkansas to pull this game off. South Carolina's defense is very underrated. And I don't think they get enough credit for their defensive play. But their defense is definitely very underrated, South Carolina. So I don't necessarily – I think we might see a game in the 20s. And, you know, I think Arkansas – I think South Carolina will be able to slow Arkansas down a little bit. But I also think South Carolina will probably be able to move the ball a little bit on Arkansas as well. So I'm looking at a game somewhere in the 20s. But I think Arkansas will pull it out.
Which
would be good for those Georgia fans out there. This would be good for those Georgia Bulldogs fans.
Yeah, so I was just commenting about, too. Another game that I think is going to be very, very interesting, a team that is definitely under the radar, and I don't think that's just because of on purpose, but, you know, I don't think they have a lot. I mean, they got a couple stars. Is number number 3, Oklahoma State, going against number 14, Kansas State. That's another game. That's going to be another good game, too. Obviously, Justin Blackman, another legitimate wide receiver, if you will, probably going to be the number one draft, number one receiver taken off the board in the NFL draft, if you will. And I think they've been kind of under the radar, but a very, very great team. You like the quarterbacks. You like Weldon doing his thing, if you will. And you like also Joseph Randall, and it's just a great team, you know, pretty balanced, pretty explosive team. And I know that Kansas State is pretty disappointed with their last game, but you know, obviously, it's going to be interesting to see if the Wildcats can kind of shut it down after they gave it like a ton of yards to Andrew Jones in Oklahoma.
Yeah, I definitely like Oklahoma State in this game, and I don't really see Oklahoma State losing again. I'm not sure. I know they play Oklahoma at the end of the year. Not sure where that game is when they play Oklahoma, but I don't think Oklahoma is probably the only team left on Oklahoma State's schedule that's capable of beating them. And so I definitely see Oklahoma State. You know, I see a 2-3 touchdown victory over Kansas State. I think Kansas State is a good football team. I think they're an overachieving football team at that. But when it comes to going up against elite teams like Oklahoma and Oklahoma State, I think they're just not there talent-wise with those teams just yet. And I definitely think that we're looking at a Oklahoma State victory there.
Gotcha. Now, this is a game that I'm going to mention. And the reason I'm mentioning this game is because the dramatic finish that they had last week, Stanford versus USC, and I had a chance to catch some last parts of that game. And just an incredible game, very exciting game. If you were a Stanford fan, obviously you were kind of biting your fingernails off, if you will, but they pulled it out. USC had a last-second fumble there. But what a great game for Andrew Luck once again, even though he had a couple of mistakes there. It led to a pick six near the end. But he was able to do what big quarterbacks do and come back and lead his team to a victory. So I don't know if you want to comment on that game, because obviously they're playing Oregon State this week, which is not a big game, but just amazing to see them pull out a win. And Stanford looks pretty strong going into the final stretch as well.
Yes, Andrew Luck, I'll tell you, that was quite an impressive performance. And I will also say that I was impressed with Matt Barkley in that game as well. I would give him some props as well, but Andrew Luck is clearly the number one pick in this upcoming draft. And clearly, I wouldn't be surprised if some of the NFL teams just start losing on purpose at the end of the year just so they can get the Andrew Luck sweepstakes. I mean, you talk about a quarterback that could probably instantly turn your NFL program around. And, you know, within year one or two of having a competitive ball club. I mean, obviously, if you look at the winless teams in the NFL right now, there's down to two with Indianapolis and Miami. And obviously, everyone knows Miami needs a quarterback. So I'm sure they're the team that, you know, but the interesting situation will be, what if the Colts get the number one pick? And I know there's a lot of debate about that, but I'm under the impression that if the Colts get the number one pick, you take Andrew Luck. And then once you take him, I guess you have to make the decision, what do you do with him? Do you trade Peyton Manning, or do you let him sit under Peyton Manning? What are your thoughts on that?
Wow, you know, it's pretty interesting because I have heard that as well, and as much as I don't think that the Colts will get rid of Peyton Manning. I mean, and granted, I don't know how serious that injury is. And unless we don't, you know, obviously we're not behind the scenes and kind of hearing what's going on with that. It would be a shock. I mean, if you're the Colts, yeah, you have to take the best player available. If they happen to be in that seat and they're kind of in that situation, I think they'd try to get as many draft picks as they could. Now, granted, depending on what's going on with Peyton Manning. So that's just amazing how this year has been for them and how bad of a team they are. A lot of people have said that, you know, Peyton Manning can't play defense, Peyton Manning can't do all those stuff. And so you're really kind of surprised at how bad they are. I mean, I know Peyton Manning is a great quarterback, and if you lose your quarterback, it's pretty much how your team goes. But just to see them kind of implode like this is pretty startling.
I'll comment on that just real quick, and you finish off. And regarding a coach, you know, I know Peyton Manning doesn't play defense, but what he does is that he controls the game, which allows his defense to get a lot of rest. And I guess the number two thing is the way the coach's defense is built. They're built to play with a lead. And that's the problem that they're having right now. I mean, they have those great pass rushers that are built to play with a lead, but right. For the most part, they're trailing now. And, you know, it's really hard to kind of – when you're playing with a lead, you know your opponent for the most part is going to be throwing the ball to play catch-up, which allows those defensive ends to kind of tee off on a quarterback and force some turnovers. And with the not having the – quarterback like Peyton Manning to really control the game offensively for the Colts. They're just not playing with the lead, and they're, you know, just don't have, you know, they're trailing behind a lot, which a lot of teams are just controlling the clock, running the ball at the coach, and that's, you know, that's just not their strength. So, you know, their team was built to to play with a lead with Peyton Manning at quarterback, and that just goes to show you how much of an impact, you know, that they built around Peyton.
Yeah, I definitely concur with you. You know, they're kind of a smaller, faster defense, if you will. They're not built to be as physical. You know, as much as those great players are, Dwight Freeney, Robert Mathis are, you know, that's a great point. They are built for, you know, just teeing off and going after quarterbacks. And yeah, you're 100% correct that, you know, and I was saying that obviously by saying that, you know, hopefully defense can play a little bit better. And it's not like, you know, we realize how much the impact he really has. And I'm sure Cameron was like, wow, did he really have this much of an impact? And yes, the answer is obviously a resounding yes with that. But just kind of moving on to what we're talking about, too, as far as the Andrew Luck sweepstakes, and I'd like to get your thoughts on this as well, is, you know, obviously I think that, you know, Miami is definitely in need of a quarterback. You can kind of argue about Washington. But one team that's kind of interesting, too, is the Denver Broncos. And I don't know if you heard about a lot of tweets that were going on or a lot of comments that were made from the Detroit Lions players that they were kind of like, this guy is really the quarterback. And I hate to, you know, pile on Tim Tebow because I think that, you know, as mentioned, he's an upstanding, you know, Christian fellow, a great person you want to have, obviously, leading a team. But I just don't know if he's the answer in Denver. So I'm kind of curious to hear your thoughts about that. And I know you talk about a lot that affecting the players. I think it definitely affected him. And I do think that the Broncos are kind of figuring out what they have with them. So kind of want to get your thoughts as we're kind of 8 minutes left in the show here as we start wrapping up.
Yeah, I know we kind of just jumped from the college football to pros on the Andrew Luck sweepstakes, but, you know, we just kind of go with the flow here. And Tim Tebow is just not an NFL quarterback. I mean, they I think Denver, matter of fact, I'll even go as far as to say next year's starting quarterback for the Denver Broncos is not on their current roster.
Wow. Okay.
Yes. Next year's starting quarterback for the Denver Broncos is not on their current roster. Orton is going to get traded. Tebow is not the answer. Tebow may be on the roster next year, but he's not the starting quarterback next year. I mean, he's just not an NFL quarterback. And, you know, I just think that eventually they're just going to have to find some other ways to utilize him in the game, other than the quarterback position. And he's just not the answer. I think Denver, they may not get the number one pick, but I think they could possibly have an opportunity to get somebody like Landry Jones or Matt Barkley. And I think one of those guys will probably be the future quarterback for the Denver Broncos. And that's my gut. I think either Landry Jones or Matt Barkley will be the starting quarterback for Denver next year. And or, you know, if they want to bring those guys along slowly, maybe they bring in the vet in to kind of start until those guys are ready. But it won't be Tebow or Orton. It'll be someone else starting at quarterback next year for Denver.
Well, today is November the 2nd, 2011, and you heard it here. Robert Ford says that Denver's quarterback is on the roster, and we'll have somebody new. So we're going to go back to the tape next year and see about this. But, you know, I think I kind of agree with you, too, that, you know, and as I've said before, as much as I hate to kind of pile on, it's just it's not the answer, and I got my barber's a big, big Bronco fan, and you know, he was like, yeah, he's rallying the troops and whatever, and he's drinking the Kool-Aid, and I'm like, yeah, you know, but I think they're just playing him to kind of figure out what they have, and as mentioned, you know, if you're a Bronco fan, you're kind of getting through this, get through the season, get your quarterback for next year, and let's rebuild. So there you have it.
Exactly.
Anything else you want to discuss as we start to, we're about 4 minutes in, or 5 minutes left, excuse me. Once again, that number to call in, 424-243-9519. I'm trying to do a better job of plugging the number because we get so wrapped up in conversation, we're going to get a chance to put that out there. I just want to say, and I don't want to bring this up in a bad way, I'm sorry about what happened to the Saints. I'm sure that there's always some teams that give give certain teams some challenges. And it seems like the Rams are one of those teams for the Saints. They obviously seem to play you guys pretty well. I don't know why, but they seem to play you guys pretty well. And that you guys used up all your points for whenever you guys played the Colts. So, yeah, I know that's kind of a tough game. So if you don't want to comment about that, you most certainly don't have to. But just want to give you opportunity
no
to kind of like wrap up or what.
Yeah, I know we got to move on a little NFL, and I know we got a big NFC South matchup with the Saints and the Bucs this weekend. And but yeah, definitely a very discouraging and a very pitiful performance by the Saints this past weekend. And I guess that sometimes that's the scary thing when you beat somebody 62-7. I don't know if you kind of go to the next game very overly confident. I'm not sure that was the Saints' case or not, but it was very horrific and very pitiful performance by the Saints this past weekend. You got to give the Rams a lot of credit. I think they, you know, whipped the Saints at the line of scrimmage too this past weekend, and so give them a lot of credit. Seems like Steven Jackson always gets up for the Saints. I don't know what's the story on that. I don't know if the Saints passed him up in the draft, but what's the story on that?
That's the story, man. They went for Ricky Williams. No, I'm just joking. I don't know what happened.
No. Yeah, but he seems to always have a great game against the Saints. But it's going to be interesting to see what kind of team the Saints show up this Sunday, you know, after a performance like that, you know, going against a very important game, divisional matchup. And a very important game. First place in the division is on the line this Sunday with that matchup. And so we'll kind of see. I know Tampa beat the Saints a few weeks ago. And so we'll kind of see what kind of team that the Saints put out on the field and see how they bounce back after a lackluster performance this past weekend.
I can pretty much guarantee you that they're going to come out and they're going to be focused. So, you know, Sean Payton probably has them on their P's and Q's after that performance. And I'm expecting them to play pretty well. I'm expecting them to pull out a win versus the Bucks. We have a pretty competitive division in the NFC South. So I'm thinking there's going to be splits for a lot of us.
I think I definitely think the Saints will bounce back and win this game. That's definitely kind of my prediction as well. And I know the Falcons are going at Indy, so I believe that's going to be another win for you guys as well.
go ahead. I'll let you get your thought real quick.
Yeah, Indy is slowly continuing to snowball. And so that should be a win for the Falcons to kind of keep pace in the division and stay right on the heels of whoever wins this Tampa New Orleans game.
Yeah, I think it's interesting, and not to pick on the Saints, but that Saints game has definitely been the kind of the rallying cry for the Falcons. You know, we're like, hey, you know, doesn't matter if they're a winless team, you have to go in there and pretty much handle business. So we're kind of thinking that is, you know, don't make it a trap game. Go in there, handle your business, and hopefully get out there without anybody else getting hurt. They had a bye week this week, and Owen Mahaley is out for the year, if you pretty much care about that. So we'll see how Falcons have done working on some things this off week. Obviously, it should hopefully we'll pull out a win. But like I said, we have to stay focused. And there's no cupcakes in the NFL, as you find out, man. So we'll have to make it do as you always say, too. So it's definitely going to be a good game.
Got a lot of good matchups in the NFL this weekend, from the Jets at Buffalo, the Giants at New England, Baltimore at Pittsburgh, Chicago at Philly, Green Bay at San Diego, just to name about four or five really good matchups in the NFL this weekend. So it should be an entertaining weekend in the NFL this weekend. I know the sports world is centered on LSU, Bama, but there's still some good football that's going to be played on Sunday, as well as Monday night that's coming up weekend in the NFL.
Yep. Well, like I said, guys, we're about 20 seconds down. So, as always, I want to thank you guys for joining us, listening on the radio, talking sports with the 12th man. Please don't forget to give us a call. Check in to us. You know, we always have fun with the show, but we want to make it more interactive. So, we're looking forward to your tweets, your posts, your questions, all that fun jazz. Rob, you want to say anything as we wrap up?
LSU, Bama, people. Let's talk about it on next Wednesday night.
Let's have some fun, guys. All right, we'll talk soon. I wonder if that cuts us off near the end, man. I think it probably does cut us off whenever it's like the 10 seconds there.
Oh, okay, gotcha. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know. Like I said, I have to listen to it. Like, if you're listening live, I wonder if it cuts it off at that last second, too. So we'll see. But, man, good show. Good show. That was fun.
Yeah. I don't think I was as prepared as I normally am.
No, you did good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of times I'll be having notes and stuff in front of me, but I didn't get a chance to really do that this week.
Marcy walks in, she comes in, just stop talking about Tim Tebow. That's the first thing she said.
Oh, Tim Tebow lover, huh?
You listen to the whole show?
Slowly.
The end of it?
Hmm?
It cut off? That's the last part?
Yeah.
It cuts us off, okay.
Yeah, it does.
If I say Robbie last name, click it, you can get that off.
Okay, it's like right at
long three. It cuts us off. Wow, okay. I got you. We got it. So whatever cuts us off, we gotta get our last points in.
Yeah.
All right.
Like, thank you for
listening. Okay. All right. That's, thanks for that, Marsh. That's good. That's good to know. Good show?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm talking about Tim Tebow. Marsh, likes Tim Tebow. She likes Tim Tebow.
He's like a
reindeer. Marsh, did you know? Did you hear this, Rob?
Hold on. This is funny. Say it, Robin. Should
we talking about Tim Tebow?
Okay.
I'll remember
that on the next show.
No, me and Robin both agree. He's not going to be there next
year.
That dude sucks, man.
I know. I just like him.
It's good to like him as a person, but you know, liking people don't make it. You know, I like some people. But, I mean, they're gonna be good.
Do you
good
think
players.
He'll stay in Denver as a different position, or do you think he'll just try to stay as a quarterback of other teams?
I don't know. He's a big boy.
Yeah.
He can learn something else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're right. Okay.
Yeah, I think they can do some things with him. Turn him into fullback or something.
Turn him into a tight end or something like that?
Yeah, fullback, tight end.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. So I'm just messing with you.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to be out of the league. I think he's still going to be in the league. Yeah, he's not an NFL quarterback.
Let's go back to Eric Crouch. Remember Eric Crouch?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
From Nebraska. Where did he end up playing? Did he play wide receiver or something like that?
Safety.
Play safety?
Mm-hmm. Okay. But you know, John Lynch was a quarterback.
Yep, John Lynch is the same thing. Yep, you're right.
And he was a Pro Bowl safety.
He was a better safety than he was probably a quarterback, which is pretty interesting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They
can definitely find a spot for him. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I agree. You know, I was thinking, so Eric Crouch played safety too?
Yeah, Eric Cross played safety.
I realize I thought he played more of an offense position. Okay. Anyway, it is what it is. But, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He has to start posting pictures. He has to stop posting pictures of food.
Yeah.
Or said he has to stop posting pictures of food to Facebook.
It looks so good.
Yeah, it does look good. I know. Are you driving back or where are you at now?
Oh, no, I'm at home now. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, home, okay.
I was just driving from the airport, yeah. I just landed about a little bit after 9 o'clock in New Orleans time.
Okay. Hey, man, like I said, way to come through, man. I appreciate you calling in, man. I can't call you a slacker anymore.
Yeah, I'll post that food so y'all come down and have some with us.
Oh,
y'all
man.
Come and visit.
It's only a matter of time, my friend, man. If I'm not doing all these freaking shows, man, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing. But I do got to ask you, so, like, I'm thinking of, you know, if I'm, and I really got to, whenever we have dinner, I seriously got to think about this too, because, you know, obviously, if DJing does well, you know, and there's certain times there where it'll be slow for DJing, so that's where I got to interject the whole video thing too, so we'll talk about that too, okay?
Okay, cool.
I don't know, yeah, if you're doing other stuff or, you know, do you have a crew here that you're going to hire out from here, or what works out? Is it going to be you yourself or what?
You know, if I'm available, it's probably going to be me myself.
Okay, I got you. That's more.
Yeah.
Okay. She's barking here. I'm sorry, what did you say?
I was saying God bless.
Oh, yeah, God bless. I got you. Good deal. All right, man. Well, I'll let you get back and enjoy getting settled from the airport. But a good show as always. And we'll talk, man. Next week is another week, man. We'll recap that big game, man. It's going down.
All right, Chief. All right. Well, man,
all right,
y'all have a good
night,
man.
You too.
Okay, Doc. All right.
All right, bye.